Good morning. My name is Suzanne, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Independent Takata Corporation Quality Assurance Panel conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Ms. Amy Littleton, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. And welcome to the news conference announcing the results of the independent Takata Quality Assurance Panel report. I am Amy Littleton, Senior Vice President at Kemper Lesnick and Public Relations Counsel to the Takata Quality Assurance Panel. The press release announcing the report, as well as the report itself, can be found at www.takatapanel.com. That website is currently going live, so keep refreshing your browsers to be able to see that. An audio transcript of today's news conference will be available 24 hours following the close of this news conference at www.takatapanel.com. During today's news conference, panel chairman Samuel K. Skinner will share the findings of the report with you and then, at the end, answer questions regarding the panel's work. If you would like to ask a question, again, please notify the operator by pressing star 1. And now I would like to introduce to you Sam Skinner, chairman of the Independent Takata Quality Assurance Panel. Skinner is an attorney and former U.S. attorney and is the former White House Chief of Staff and Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. As Secretary, Skinner served as the nation's senior regulatory official for rail, aviation, maritime, pipeline, and highway safety, and was credited with the development of the President's National Transportation Policy and the development and passage of landmark aviation and surface transportation legislation. Skinner acted as the President's point person in numerous crisis situations, including the 1988 terrorist bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, the Eastern Airlines strike, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the Northern California earthquake, Hurricane Hugo, and the 1991 National Rail Strike. Skinner is the retired chairman, president, and chief executive officer of USF Corporation, one of the nation's leading transportation and logistics companies. Joining Secretary Skinner on the panel were six highly experienced professionals in automotive safety, manufacturing, Japanese business, quality assurance, and government regulation. In alphabetical order, the panel members included Marion C. Blakey. Blakey has worked in transportation industry for more than 20 years and served as administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration and chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. Blakey has also held leadership positions within the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration as administrator, the U.S. Department of Commerce, the U.S. Department of Education, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the White House, and the U.S. Department of Transportation. Nelda J. Connors. Connors has worked as an executive at various auto companies, including Ford Motor Company, Chrysler Corporation, and a supplier for Toyota Motor Company. Connors has also held top leadership positions at Tyco International, Eaton Corporation, Pine Grove Holdings, LLC, and the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Connors has also spent considerable time in the auto industry in Japan. John C. Landgraf. Landgraf is retired executive vice president at Abbott. In 38 years with the company, Landgraf held leadership positions in all four key segments of Abbott's business, pharmaceutical, diagnostics, devices, and nutritional products, including being head of the nutritional products division, Abbott's largest. Landgraf has experience leading manufacturing and quality assurance in a highly regulated environment and has dealt with complex compliance issues with regulatory agencies around the world. Dr. Julio M. Otino. Otino has had a long academic career with a focus on engineering. He is dean of the Robert R. McCormick School of Engineering and Applied Science at Northwestern University, where he holds the titles of Distinguished Robert R. McCormick Institute Professor and Walter P. Murphy Professor of Chemical and Biological Engineering. His previous positions include Chairman of the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at Northwestern University, Chair and Senior Executive at the California Institute of Technology, Stanford University, and the University of Minnesota, and faculty member at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Dr. Jeffrey W. Runge, MD. Dr. Runge has decades of experience in the public and private sectors. He's a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians, a former administrator of National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, former Assistant Secretary for Health Affairs, and Chief Medical Officer for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. His areas of expertise include road transportation safety and injury prevention and control. John W. Snow. Secretary Snow's legislative roles have included 73rd Secretary of the Treasury, Assistant General Counsel for the Department of Transportation, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy, Plans, and International Affairs, Assistant Secretary for Governmental Affairs in the Department of Transportation, Undersecretary in the Department of Transportation, and Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. He is also the former CEO of CSX Corporation, one of the nation's leading rail companies. Detailed biographies for each panel member can be found in the report. I will now turn the floor over to panel chairman Skinner. Mr. Skinner.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for joining today's call. The independent Takata Corporation Quality Assurance Panel conducted a thorough review and assessment of Takata's current policies, practices, procedures, structure, and personnel. We conducted 160 interviews with Takata employees and 28 interviews with people in the automotive industry outside of Takata. We also visited manufacturing facilities across the U.S. and Mexico and met with Takata leadership in the United States and Japan. Our primary objective was to deliver a full and complete assessment of Takata's current quality practices. The panel did not evaluate the products that prompted the current recalls or the processes employed when the products of concern were manufactured. Others are looking into these critical questions, including Takata itself, NHTSA, Congress, and the automakers impacted by the recall. After this extensive review of Takata's quality-related operations and organization, the panel has concluded that Takata must improve in several areas, in particular in three broad categories. First area, addressing quality-related concerns. Second, ensuring quality in Takata's design and manufacturing process. And third, promoting quality throughout the entire organization through improved management practices. I will go through these recommendations briefly, but urge you to review the report in its entirety for greater detail. With regard to the first category of addressing quality-related concerns, the panel believes Takata must refine its processes for identifying quality-related problems with its products in the automotive fleet and better make better use of the information that it collects. The teams at Takata entrusted with this task lack clearly defined roles and processes for responding to quality concerns. Moreover, these teams primarily rely on reports from automobile manufacturers about quality. There is no standalone Takata program aimed at identifying quality-related problems with Takata products once they are in a vehicle fleet. And there are limited formal systems for consolidating and analyzing what information Takata does collect. This is an area where substantial improvement is necessary. The roles and duties of these employees responsible for responding to externally related quality issues should be formalized, and specific processes should be put in place governing how these teams managed and elevate, if necessary, potential quality problems when identified. These processes should take a premium on timely and accurate reporting. Takata must also explore the possibility of engaging in some form of independent in-fleet monitoring and put a system in place that allows the data it collects on product performance to be systematically studied. In addition, Takata must improve when concerns about quality are raised internally. Quality personnel have indisputable authority to halt certain aspects of the company's processes, such as operations or manufacturing, based on quality-related concerns. But the authority of quality personnel can be marginalized in product design process. Takata must adopt policies that make it clear that quality has a leading role in design, not only in manufacturing, and has the power to stop the design process based on quality concerns. It should also train its quality personnel through examples and set standards on how to identify quality issues and on what constitutes an issue of sufficient gravity to halt product design. Further, Takata must ensure that any data it collects in connection with the design, manufacture, and testing of its products is recorded and reported accurately. Takata collects a substantial amount of data when designing a new product and develops the process through which this product will be manufactured. Sharing that information with its customers, as Takata is required to do, fosters important communication regarding product design and is a potential cross-check on Takata's internal process. It is imperative for Takata to make sure that the systems are in place for accurate reporting and recording. These should also include a monitoring program to track testing data in a standardized way. With regard to the second category of ensuring quality in Takata's design and manufacturing process, the panel recommends that Takata develop a standard for product safety specifications. Takata airbag inflators undergo extensive quality testing. The vast majority of that testing, however, is driven by specifications provided by the automobile manufacturers, regulators, and industry organization, and not by Takata itself. Takata must develop its own set of testing specifications based on its own view of what is best from a quality and safety perspective. Critical self-evaluation is a key attribute of any quality organization. Takata's independently developed test should attempt to account for the fact that vehicles now remain on our nation's auto roads for more than decades and find themselves in multiple states with widely different climate conditions and operating environments during their lifetime. In addition, Takata must adopt a standard practice for seeking and utilizing third-party review. Takata sometimes seeks the advice of outside experts regarding its product design and operation, and the panel recommends that Takata continue to do so. However, there is no formal process in place for deciding when to seek outside review, when it's necessary, and acting on the information once it's been received. The panel believes that Takata must formalize both its process for obtaining third-party review on product design and performance and its process for evaluating and acting on the feedback it receives from those third parties. It must develop a system for addressing feedback once it's received. The process should include actions and steps necessary that must be taken by Takata when information is received after third-party review. Further, Takata must increase and standardize automation operations across its facilities. Some of the safety-critical aspects of Takata's operations are done manually. For example, much of the loading of inflator propellant is done by hand. Relatively, Takata's practices are not always consistent within and across facilities. Takata must attempt to increase its use of automation and standardize its use of automation and other procedures across process and plants. In particular, Takata must move forward with full automation of propellant loading and look for opportunities to increase machine assistance and airbag folding. Takata should also work to standardize its use of automation across facilities and products. Takata needs to do an assessment of what automation is best from a quality perspective for all aspects of airbag and flare assembly, and then align its practices globally. First, in the product design engineering phase of its overall product development workflow, and second, in its design review process specifically. The Takata's manufacturing team must have consistent involvement in design processes. The panel is also concerned about the design review process's effectiveness as a mechanism for ensuring quality. In some instances, the design review process appears to be more an exercise in completion than a rigorous quality evaluation. That may be due to the fact that the design review process is focusing on covering a long checklist, and there's sometimes a mismatch between the content of the process and the attendees. Takata must reorient its design review process so it is more outcome-driven and quality-focused. Quality would best be served if design reviews focused on issues requiring cross-functional leadership input. These meetings must provide an opportunity for Takata's best minds to contribute to product development in a meaningful way. In addition, Takata's programs undergo multiple handoffs during their lifetime. No one team or person is specifically tasked with monitoring a product once it is in the fleet. We believe that entrusting one group with overall and lifetime responsibility for a product program is consistent with best quality practices, and we make this recommendation to CADA. Further, TACADA must increase consistency in monitoring, documenting critical specifications and processes. The panel identified instances where the instructions provided to TACADA employees need to be improved such that they provide employees with necessary guidance regarding critical specifications. Third category, promoting quality throughout improved the organization through using improved management practices, is a need for substantial cultural change at TACADA. The company may take steps to drive quality into the culture in three ways. First, by requiring that every employee at TACADA undergo periodic quality-specific training. Second, by creating a system that rotates employees through quality team jobs. And third, by improving opportunities in the TACADA quality organization in order to attract top talent. In addition, TACADA must increase its leadership support and involvement in quality initiatives. TACADA leadership must search for opportunities to celebrate quality and the accomplishments it enables. In the panel's experience, the importance of leading by example and giving credit where credit is due on cultural issues cannot be overstated. Such actions are part and parcel of driving quality into an organization and driving it into its cultural DNA. TACADA leadership must also look for opportunities to involve themselves in quality checkpoints throughout TACADA's operation. And the company's global leadership needs to increase its involvement in quality issues. In addition, we believe that overall product and process quality would be improved if there were direct ties between compensation and quality at appropriate points along the TACADA chain of command. Compensation and quality-related key performance indicators, KPIs, appropriately structured, would provide strong incentives for employees to raise quality-related issues as soon as they are identified and allow TACADA to hold its employees accountable for quality-related lapses. Further, TACADA must guarantee that sufficient resources are available in quality critical areas. Ensuring quality control across the board will be a resource-intensive effort. It requires having the right people and the right systems in place. TACADA must take steps to ensure that its quality support resources remain strong. Resources previously dedicated to quality should be guarded, and additional resources should be dedicated to quality when necessary and feasible. To reiterate the panel's key findings, TACADA must improve its ability to address quality-related concerns, ensure quality in its design and manufacturing processes, and promote quality throughout the organization with improved management practices. We expect TACADA to implement our recommendations. To do that, the company must do four things. It must create a dedicated quality team to supervise the implementation of the recommendations discussed. It must develop a detailed plan to implement the panel's recommended changes. It must develop a companion monitoring program to track change completion, and it must construct a comprehensive quality training program to facilitate and guide implementation. TACADA has already begun to address a number of the issues discussed in the panel's report. Thank you.
And that concludes panel Chairman Skinner's remarks. Just as a reminder, the report can be found at TACADAPanel.com. That site is live now. Many of you also received the report via email. You can let us know if you need to receive that report. Now we will open the floor to questioning. Operator?
Thank you. And just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, that was star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes to the line of Dave Shepardson of Reuters. Your line is open.
Thanks for having the call. Secretary Skinner, what do you think went wrong at TACADA in terms of the quality problems? Was it a lack of resources? Was it a lack of attention to the issue? Maybe in a nutshell, can you just tell us what do you think led to the series of quality problems?
Well, first of all, I think, as we all understand, our job was not to look at what happened and how it happened as much as it was to look at the quality of the organization as it is today. And we found that a number of steps could be taken, a number of steps had been taken, but that the company could take some significant steps. How they got there, we didn't really look at. What we looked at, where they are now and what they can do to improve it. But we didn't look at that much, and so I don't know quite how they got there, but it's clear that they need to take some steps, and it appears that they're committed to do so.
Next question.
Certainly. Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Plungas of Lindbergh News. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for doing the call. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about what you found in the culture. You emphasize that Takata needs to improve its quality control culture. So what did you find when you looked at that? Why did you make that an emphasis in your report? And what are some examples of things that other companies do that you don't think Takata was doing?
Well, we found that that quality is certainly something that Takata understands the need for. I think that implementing a quality culture really is driven from the top down as well as from the bottom up. We found there were a lot of good people there, and I think if properly educated, the importance of quality and taking quality to the next level, they could do the job. So I think that as you go forward, the organization recognizes that when you strive for quality, it involves something that you live and breathe every day. And I think while they lived it and breathed it, they didn't live it every day the way other people do. So great organizations basically emphasize it. They train their people, and they emphasize it at the very top of their priority list. And while it was a priority, it needs to be higher.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
And certainly, just also a reminder that it is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of Nathan Bloomy of US Today. Your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to ask just two questions real quick. One is regarding the issue of the loading of the propellant into the inflators, and you said that you identified that it was being done by hand, and it sounds like it still is being done by hand, and although there are processes in place to ensure that they check the quality there, you had some concerns. Could you just elaborate on that? And also, is lack of automation generally an issue with Takata, not just with the propellant?
No, I think in some areas we found that automation could enhance the quality and could enhance a consistency with the product. And inflator loading is one, and airbag assembly is another. And a lot of strides have been made in automation in the last 10 years. And as we know, if the automation works, it gives us ability to put across an organization consistency because of the automation. And it's done different ways at different plants on some occasions, and the automation, if it's done consistently across all the organization after properly testing, can derive a consistency in the product result, development result. So we found that they made some strides in some areas of automation. In other areas, I think there's more work to be done, and if they do that work, they will get the consistency that they need, particularly in those two areas.
Okay, and as you probably know, I mean, NHTSA has identified the propellant as likely the root cause of the issue, and obviously they're still exploring the specifics there. But would you say that you're concerned that the issue regarding automation may have led to the defect?
Well, first of all, I want to make it clear, as we did at the beginning, that we did not look at what happened in the past and what's happened with the inflators. As you know, a number of organizations are looking at that, including NHTSA, including outside organizations retained by the automobile industry, including Takata and others. So we didn't get into that, and they're working very hard on that. And as information comes out, I think everybody will understand that. But we didn't try to duplicate that effort, and that wasn't our mandate. What we did was say, look at your operation. How do you get the highest quality? And what can you do to get the highest quality? And automation was an important part of that. But we didn't judge in any way or shape what the lack of automation and what that differential might have been. We just believe that you can get a higher level of consistency with automation.
Okay, and then just one final question, then I'll be done. With regard to the lack of a process to identify quality issues once the products reach the market, you cited that, and I just wanted to get maybe some additional color on that. You say that there's no real formal process, but they had some sort of maybe less formal process of looking for defects or spotting them. Can you just give us like some sense of what exactly how it worked?
Well, you have design and you obviously have manufacturing. And when you're designing a product, it's important that manufacturing and quality people be part of the team that's in the design function as well as the manufacturing function. And so therefore, so that you can design a product and design it at the highest quality, but if you can't manufacture it correctly, it really is a no-go, so to speak. So what we found is that there was involvement at some levels by manufacturing and design talking to manufacturing early on. It wasn't as complete as it should be. So it should be basically an inter-department team that's designed not only in manufacturing but also in the design so they can understand the implications. And the quality people and the testing people must be part of that as well so everybody knows from the very beginning what the test procedures will be and how they will measure the quality of the design as well as the manufacturing. And it ought to be people also we recommended that once they stay with that, that group will have the product for a lifetime so they can have a history and they'll know what that history is.
All right, thanks.
Operator?
And there are no more There are no more questions in the queue at this time. I do turn the call back over to Ms. Littleton for closing remarks.
Thank you. That concludes today's news conference. As a reminder, you may access the report at takatapanel.com. An audio transcript of today's news conference will also be available in 24 hours. Thank you for your time.
And this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.